If you've ever experienced a breach in trust, it is difficult to begin to rebuild, pick up those pieces and begin to put things back together. We have to understand that we can't do it in ourselves and of ourselves. We need God. We need God in our relationship. We need God, first of all, in our personal life and in our relationship to rebuild those pieces that have been shattered. That is the only way that we find that there's some kind of steps, some security and understanding. But listen, even though we rebuild trust, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. Love and trust both come with risk. Come with risk that we're going to be disappointed again. But we don't give up. We don't throw our hands up in the air and just quit. No, we begin to rebuild again. Today we look at a passage of Scripture about building trust or having trust and then begin to work off from that of what God is doing in our life. Stephen Covey said this, said, "Trust is the glue of life. It's the most essential ingredient in effective communication. It's the foundational principle that holds all relationships." Trust. Trust in one another. This passage of Scripture in Luke 16, verse 10 through 12. Now, Jesus is talking about trust with money, trust with possessions. But listen, the same foundational principles exist in this passage for our relationships. Jesus says this, "Whoever can be trusted with very little, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" Oh, Jesus values trust. Let's pray together. Father God, in this passage, we see that trust begins with small things and moves into larger. And same thing in our relationships, God, that we have to trust in small areas to build up to those large things that we trust one another with. God, we've all experienced some breach of trust in some way. Maybe with a spouse, maybe with children, maybe with a friend, maybe with someone else in a relationship that we've had. God, teach us today in our relationship. Teach us today in our marriages how to rebuild trust based on your principles, understanding how you want us to love and trust one another. In Christ's name, amen. So trust is defined as a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, or ability of someone or something. The most expensive thing in the world is trust. Think about it. The most expensive thing in the world is trust. It can take years to build and just a matter of seconds to break and every moment to repair. Trust is that valuable that we can take years and years and years of building it in just an instant. It can be gone. And from that point on, it takes a lifetime of rebuilding and rebuilding and rebuilding. There are several truths about trust in relationships that couples should learn to grow stronger bonds. And the first truth is this, that trust must be founded on the principles of God. Listen, all trust must be founded on the principles of God. If you're just trusting a person because you want to trust them and they're not founded on God, listen, you're quickly going to be disappointed. And in your own life, if you are not founded on the Word of God, if you're not founded as a born-again believer on Christ Jesus, listen, you're going to disappoint a lot of people. You're going to break a lot of trust. See, we invest trust in each other based on the fact that God is completely trustworthy and has established a moral code of absolute truth to guide our relationships. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Listen, if I want to be a trustworthy person, I need to adhere and stick to the principles of God. If I stick to the principles of God, you know what? It's easy to rely on me. It's easy to trust me. It's easy to trust you. Listen, it's easy to trust your spouse when they are serving God, when they're really being and living out a Christian lifestyle. It's so much easier to find you trustworthy. God is trustworthy. He's the foundation on which we build healthy and holy relationships. God delivered the moral code of relationships to Moses. You think about that in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are really all about relationship. The first four are relationship with God. The next six are relationship with one another. God values relationship and God values trust. God is the one who lays the foundation of trust based on his character. He established an expected morality that will build healthy and meaningful relationships, meaningful marriages, and strong family bonds. And ultimately, following God's plan will impact our society to function, to trust with other, trust goodwill with others. See, trust within relationships can be strengthened by following the values that God has established. See, as long as couples adhere to God's values of honesty and truth and morality, trust encompasses the bonds of marriage and it prevents outside influences from infiltrating and violating the fragile trust between mates. When we're living out godly lifestyle, we're living out God's principles, we truly make it and embrace it in our own personal life, it's amazing how it affects our relationship. This is amen. 8 o'clock, Clarion. See, trust is broken when one or both partners in a relationship divert from the governing principles of God and formulate a belief of self-entitlement and actions that follow. I've heard a lot of men say, you know what? I'm just not happy in my marriage. And God wants me to be happy. Christian men. And God wants me to be happy. So it's okay for me to leave. Oh, listen. I sat down with a man and he told me that. Young guy. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 and 29 says, "In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church." Jesus doesn't abandon the church when we don't get it right. Jesus loves us continuously pours out. Even though we're not acting very lovingly, he still loves us. See, God is more concerned about our holiness than our happiness. Let that sink in for a moment. When people choose to act selfishly, doubts arise and trust begins to fragment. Dr. Henry Cloud said this way, "Deception is the one thing that cannot be worked through because it denies the problem." Deception. See, when trust is broken or doubts cloud the mind of a marriage partner, painful consequences arise and communication is disrupted. See, trust does not offer any certainties about another person's actions or attitudes. However, trust is the virtue that is required to form and maintain lasting relationships. See, deception. We begin to hide things in our relationship. We begin to tuck away things in our relationship. Now, I'm not talking about Christmas presents. Or birthday presents. You can be as deceiving as you want with those rascals. Hide them in the closet if you want to. I'm talking about things of everyday life. When we get very deceptive, trust begins to break down. Trust begins to break down. Question, are you allowing God to govern the trust that you invest in your relationship? Are you being deceptive about something, some area of your life? Listen, if you're being deceptive about some area of your life, realize this. That's the very area that's going to cause you problems down the road. It may be okay right now, but it will cause you problems down the road. See, our faith in God is reflected in our personal core values, and our values reveal much about our trustworthiness in our marriage. See, when we violate our values and we lose a privilege of other people's trust, and we even begin not to trust ourselves. We need God to guide us, and keeping our values is primary so that we can be people who are trustworthy. These core values that God gives in His principles, God's Word, and we incorporate them into our life. If we are not obeying them, if we're not living them out, then other people quickly begin to see that we are deceiving them and we are not very trustworthy. We're not very reliable people. Oh, today, are you a reliable person? Are you a person who is trustworthy? Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. If there's an area of your life that you have been deceptive, stop. I'll cut through the chase in counseling. Just say, stop. Stop. Be the person that God called you to be. That's all. Just be the person that God called you to be. Person who's after His own heart. And when you're after His own heart, you are a trustworthy person. The second truth that we see today is trust is bonded by truth and in unconditional love. See, truth is the master key which unlocks the freedom of trust in order for couples to grow in love and respect. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6 says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. How does love grow in our relationship, in our marriage? That we're truthful with one another. That we're honest. That we're transparent. That we're loyal. See, without truth and honesty in marriage, trust doesn't even exist. Couples must work together and have a safe line of communication to feel that they can share their thoughts, their feelings, and insecurities with one another without the fear of rejection. If your spouse told you something that you did not like to hear, would you reject them? Or would you act in a rejecting manner? See, marriage partners will dodge complete transparency if they fear the other partner will retaliate through arguing or blaming or punishing them. See, retaliation undermines the trust-building process. That doesn't mean that avoiding the truth should not be confronted and dealt with by partners. This must be done with the focus on healing and restoration. If not, a couple will sort through their feelings and breaches in truth and do harmful things that either complicate or even kill their marriage. How many marriages today, Christian marriages, are killed because of lack of trust? Trust and truth go hand in hand. Deception. Listen, there's a problem when 51% of Christian marriages end in divorce. 51%. We can do better than that. Maybe it's sometime we've got our focus off the wrong. Listen, when we focus on God, it's amazing how things transform and change, and He does a miracle in us. Luke 6:10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Deception is a huge obstacle to building trust and quite often is a trust killer. Partners must not keep secrets and not practice deception with friends or coworkers and money and credit cards and classmates and family. You fill in the gaps in those areas. Listen, because we have friends, we should not be deceptive about it. because you have credit cards and money. Listen, don't spend and not tell your spouse. We can be so deceptive. Oh, if they find out, they're going to be angry with me. And they'll get unangry too. But they'll be more angry if they find out you did something without their knowledge that will hurt your relationship, hurt your trust. Rachel Hawthorne said this, said, deception may give us what we want for the present, but it will always take it away in the end. Deception may give us what we want in the present, but will always take it away in the end. Trust is the bedrock of a strong, healthy marriage, a strong, healthy relationship, and trust will grow and create strong bonds of connection as couples are truthful with one another. Trust means that you have faith and confidence in your partner. Trust is an earned virtue and is priceless in to marriage and relationships. Listen, when trust is broken, when it is breached, it's not easy to rebuild, and it takes time. It takes a lot of elements to come together to begin to rebuild that trust. It doesn't just happen automatically. The third truth we see is that trust is the framework of healthy relationships. Trust is the framework of healthy relationships. See, the infrastructure of a marriage is, and a relationship is formed and framed on the virtue of trusting others and being that reliable person. We see in verse 10, it says, whoever can be trusted with a little can be trusted with much. You see the framework that in a relationship that it begins to build up. Proverbs 31:11 says, the heart of her husband trusts her and he will have no lack of gain. Think about the skyline of New York City. Man, I'm a country guy all the way, but I like to visit a city. I like to see the skyscrapers and the beautiful glass that's on and reflective glass. And at night when the lights, you know, when the city lights are on, it's beautiful. I like to visit, but I don't want to live there. You see that the beautiful lights and man, this majestic looking glass, this big tower, and it's reflecting everything around. That's not the infrastructure. See, the infrastructure is in the ground, and behind all those walls of sheetrock and concrete, inside of there, there's I-beams that go deep into the ground to have some solid foundation and builds up as high as they can. Behind those walls is reinforcement steel and concrete and all of the things that come to tons of nuts and bolts. And listen, it's not very pretty when it's just coming up. There's nothing attractive about it. But that's the foundation that's needed to keep those skyscrapers reaching toward the sky. Sometimes in our relationships, we have to remember trust and stuff is not always aesthetically pleasing. Sometimes you have to fight for it. Sometimes you have to dig deep. Sometimes you have to throw away the things that aren't working. But you work at it, you work at it, you work at it. It's amazing when that structure of your relationship, your marriage, is built on trust, built on honesty and telling the truth and transparency, when it's built on that, how reflection will grow and the beauty and the majesty that we can see in your relationship, that fulfilling pleasure that we have in our relationship is strong. Because the infrastructure is strong. What happens when the infrastructure is not strong? It collapses, and great is its fall. See, relationship and marriages have a similar pattern of framework of these big old skyscrapers. There's this infrastructure of trust, fastened together by truth and honesty and loyalty, wrapped in intimacy and compassion, and anchored in healthy communication and fortitude. The entire infrastructure of trust is wrapped in love. Like a towering, strong building, trust and relationship takes time to build. Trust is established over time, gradually, through a series of successful experiences, through reliable tests. And when those tests are held true. Rabbi Dor Heller said this, is create a safe and emotional space for your spouse. If you are not actively working to build a safe emotional space, then you're probably building an unsafe one. So if we're not creating an environment inside of our marriage, inside of our relationships, to help other people grow, to prove ourselves to be reliable, to prove ourselves to be trustworthy, if we're not doing our part, then we're probably taking things apart. If we're not building it up, we're taking it apart. We're not creating, doing our part to create an environment so our spouse can trust us and that we can trust them. And little by little, we're pulling one brick out of the wall at a time. One brick out of the wall. And we're weakening our relationship to where God really wants it to be and where it can be. There are five keys that link the infrastructure of trust and relationships. And it actually forms an acrostic of trust. The first one is time. There's your T. Time. A healthy relationship requires investing time to learn each other. I usually ask couples who are getting married, when it comes to communication, how much time do you spend together on a daily basis? Both may be working. When you come home, what does it look like? How much time are you spending together? Some say, well, you know, I mean, just talking, just visiting. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Now, that's what they're telling the pastor. I don't know what's going on at home. I just have to take them at their word. If you're getting 20, 30 minutes a day having conversation, you're doing pretty good. Time. It takes time to build trust. It takes time to have a healthy relationship. The second is reliability. Couples need to feel they can safely count on one another. Hey, men, can your wife count on you to go get the groceries at the store? I don't know. Sometimes I do good. I have the list she's given me. It's all there. I just get the wrong brand name. So she's learned after almost 30 years, next month will be 30 years of marriage, she puts the brand name in parentheses next to it. It works. Now I'm reliable. The third thing we see is understanding. The greater the understanding, the more likely it is that spouses develop unconditional love. Do you take time to truly understand what your spouse is going through? Do you take time to listen? See, when we truly begin to listen, oh, that's a whole nother sermon there. We take time to listen. It's amazing how much we begin to understand the emotions that our spouse is going through, the daily events that they've had, the things that have happened, what they truly are seeing in life and seeing that's going on in our family and in marriage. The fourth thing we see is sacrifice. Listen. When couples sacrifice, when partners exhibit that behavior in which they sacrifice something for the good of the relationship, trust develops. When we begin to act so selfish that it's my way or the highway, it's exactly like our wanted or nothing, there's not a whole lot of trust that goes on there. But when your partner, when your husband or your wife sacrifices something for your relationship, oh, how trust builds. The fifth thing is thankfulness. This means recognizing and appreciating a partner's efforts. Avoid taking each other for granted. And the fourth truth that we see here is trust is fragile and at times must be rebuilt. Sometimes trust is broken over small things, and sometimes it's major. See, trust requires investment of faith and confidence in one's reliability as you extend grace and love to one another. Trust is so fragile. Luke 16:11 said it this way, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who would trust you with true riches? If you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you your own? So listen, trust is vital to our lives. Jesus is talking about, listen, if you're not going to handle money in a small amount, we're not going to give you a whole lot. And if you're not good at handling other people's issues and other people's money, then why should you have your own? You're just not a trustworthy person. You can be, but you choose not to be. It happens even in our relationships. See, Ernest Hemingway said the best way to find out if you can trust anybody is to trust them. You have to start somewhere. I wouldn't trust them with a huge, I would start small and work my way up. See, the only way to trust again after trust has been broken is to move past your fear and to work up the courage to trust that person. Listen, there's no instant formula to implement to make this happen in your relationship. Most of us remember when trust has been shattered. Either when we have broken trust or when others have broken trust with us. One of the most difficult things to do is to forgive someone who has broken our trust and to begin to trust them again. Forgiveness. Trust does not come with a guarantee. And listen, when we trust someone, we're opening ourselves up to invest in them, to give them something to go with, to rely on them in some way. And there's no guarantee that they're going to complete it. There's no guarantee that they're going to uphold their end of the bargain. But we give it to them anyway. And when they prove reliable, when they prove trustworthy there, then we can give them a little bit more. And a little bit more. Always knowing, not with a negative attitude like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. No, with the attitude that regardless, we're going to work through this. We're going to work through this. Because you're trying to build something. And listen, if you've ever been on a construction job, it's not perfect. Those beautiful houses that you see have a lot of mistakes that's hidden. Board's a quarter inch too short. We had to scab it over here. We had, you know, it wasn't quite level. It sunk once we had it there. We had to wedge it up a little bit. But it works. Relationships are kind of like that. If you really dug deep into relationships, there's a lot of wedges for that foundation to hold together. Forgiveness, giving grace, trusting one another. Trusting one another means we risk disappointment again, but we must remember that trust is the infrastructure of marriage and our relationships. Without trust, over time, relationships crumble and marriages dissolve. Just a note of wisdom, if I have any. Listen, don't bring broken bricks of trust from a previous relationship into a new one, or you'll build the same insecure relationship infrastructure that you did before. You have to let God heal it and make it new in you. And Birch said this, she told her this testimony of a lady. One lady shared a valuable graph regarding phases of trust pertaining to infidelity. Before disclosure of the affair, trust is high. After disclosure of an affair, trust plummets to an all-time low. Through sincerity, that means breaking all ties now with the third party, trust climbs perhaps 30%. Through ability, discussing the affair and answering questions and proven behavior during this time, trust climbs another 30%, so you're now at 60%. Through durability, that's being faithful, open, and honest, proven behavior over an extended period of time, one can regain full trust. It takes time with work and proven behavior. Listen, if you've been a person who's broken trust, don't expect everyone just to give it back to you automatically. It's not going to happen. Forget about that. You're living in a fairy tale if you believe that. It will take time. It will take some work. It will take some reliability. It will take you doing your part of living up to what you say you are. Living it up. And little by little, they'll continue to build trust in you. Little by little. And listen, if you're the person who has been the victim of the breached trust, you have to give something. You have to begin to rebuild. And it may be 30%, but it's 30%. And it brings hope to them and hope for you. You're giving that 30%. Listen, that 30% may take 6 months. That next 30% may take another 6 months. So now years pass since things been breached. And listen, you still have 30% to go. Why? Because that's that extended time to build. To rebuild trust, we must have the capacity to forgive and give grace to trust again and the power that Christ gives. How do we rebuild trust? Let me give you a few and I'm done. The wounded spouse must share their pain. The other spouse must acknowledge their hurt caused by a devastating experience of being lied to or cheated on. Second thing is listen completely to one another with your heart and not just your head. Third thing, be honest. It's no use to be deceptive anymore. Just be honest. The fourth thing, avoid trigger words that start a conflict. Aren't you tired of arguing? See, use non-blaming words like, you know, those I statements like, when this happened, I believe this or I felt this way. Avoid words like always and must and never and should. Take responsibility for your actions. Be an adult. Be open to counseling or a pastor. Remind each other that you deserve open and honest answers to your questions. And choose to forgive. Allow time for your emotions to catch up with your decisions. Forgiveness is always a choice. It begins there. Emotions will catch up later on. Make the choice to love, show grace, and trust one step at a time to rebuild. And set new relationship boundaries. Set new goals with the purpose to grow together in love. Set new boundaries. The old boundaries didn't work. They were broken. Set new ones. And the last thing, always, always, always seek God. Seek God personally and seek God together for healing in your relationship. Healing in your life. Little by little, you will see your marriage transformed into something that you always wanted it to be. That wound begins to heal, and only a scar is left behind. And that scar always has a story of God's grace and the goodness that He can pour into your life and into your marriage to heal it, to make it better than it always was. What are you going through today? Has trust been breached in your relationship? Maybe in your marriage, maybe even beyond it, maybe with your children, maybe with a loved one, maybe with a family member. They've done something that's really hurt. It's hurt your relationship. Will you today begin to rebuild trust, forgive, and see what God will do? Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, we thank you so much for your great love. God, we thank you today for just holding us up when we fall. And God, holding us up when our trust has been breached with a loved one, especially our spouse. Oh God, you're so good to us. God, when trust is breached, we can't see ourselves 3 years from now, 4 years from now. God, we're just looking at the moment. Father, I pray that you would help us. Maybe someone is here in the sound of my voice who is hurting. And God, they really need you to intervene. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask our deacons to come forward. We come to this part of our service. We have our Lord's Supper time. It's a time that we reflect over our own lives. Maybe there's some things that you're dealing with in your own life that, man, today you just really need to give to God. Father God, as we pray over this cup, we pray over this bread. Lord, every heart searching their own relationship with you, Father, I pray that they have a clear conscience with you. As they take this bread and take this cup in a worthy manner. Father, I pray today that you forgive us our sin. Cleanse us and make us whole. In Jesus' name, amen.